Hi everyone, and welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 2, Bournemouth 1. Chelsea have won our last game of the season. We have finished 6th in the Premier League. Not a brilliant performance today, but nevertheless, we've got the result, and we've got European football for next season. We've won 5 games in a row, which is fantastic. I don't know what the stats are, but that's the first time we've won 5 in a row for a long time. Meanwhile, it looks like Manchester City are on the verge of winning the Premier League. 3-1 up in the last minute of added on time against West Ham. But as for Chelsea, yes, today we started off pretty well. Had a few chances early on, came out with a lot of energy. And then one of the goals of the season, I think, from Moises Caicedo, from behind the halfway line, actually. It was, I don't know how far away it was, but it was behind the halfway line. Absolutely sensational strike. Great technique. Brilliant from Caicedo. Then we kind of tired before to the end of the first half. Bournemouth started to have a few chances. Came out in the second half. Sterling scored very, very quickly into the second half. And 2-0. But within a minute, it was 2-1. A silly mistake. And then we didn't play well in the second half. We looked tired. Players looked tired. We didn't put in a great performance, really. Pochettino made some subs, which gave us a bit of fresh energy. And Kunku and Uguchukwu, Cassidy, all came on. We perked up a bit towards the end of the game. We closed out the win. Probably could have had a... Anthony Taylor did his usual awful job as referee. I think there were two clear penalties that he didn't give. And a host of other bad decisions that from Anthony Taylor. Absolutely. but what did we expect from Anthony Taylor, honestly, against Chelsea? But we got the win. That's the most important thing, honestly, today. We've secured 6th place, which many people didn't think we would. That's good from us. We've improved over the season. I think you always finish where you deserve to finish in the Premier League, and we finished 6th. We only just need Manchester City to do the double next weekend, and we'll have Europa League football. That will be brilliant. So we're all cheering on Man City next weekend in the FA Cup final. They have now officially won the league, for the 4th year running. So here we are. We're gonna talk about the game today. We might talk a bit about overall kind of how we feel we've done this season. But we're gonna focus on the game first. But up here I've got Rambles with me. Hi, mate.
Evening, guys. How are we all?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good. We got the win. We finished 6th. That's what matters today. Yeah. What did you think of the game?
Yeah, it wasn't the best of performances. You know, we started off pretty well. I thought the second half just kind of a bit of a dull second half. We didn't really do that much. But hey, we got the win and we finished 6th place. I think if you'd said to any of us 2 or 3 months ago, we'd finish 6th place, we wouldn't have believed you, because it was looking like it was going to be a really kind of iffy season again. But hey, since the new year, we've been very, very good. And I think we can now look forward to next season with a lot of optimism.
Yeah, I think, if you told me after the Arsenal game that we finished 6th, I'd have laughed at you. But I thought, well, maybe we'll finish 7th. Maybe we might even finish 8th. But fair play. I mean, since then, it's 5 wins and 1 draw, you can't turn your nose up at that. However you perform, we'd probably do a bad performance. We played well in the last 4 games overall, and we deserve to win. I think we deserve to win against Villa as well, actually. So, but today, I think we looked tired. Last game of the season, You know,
yeah, we definitely looked a bit flat in the second half.
Yeah, I think Palmer looked tired today, which I don't blame him for being tired. He's carried us all season, so he's played pretty much every game. So, of course, I think he was a bit tired. I don't think there was complacency. I think it was just tiredness today. But we saw it out, and that's the thing. You know, Bournemouth, you know, could have got a point. We were a bit lucky. You know, Solanke, I can't believe he didn't score. Had a really good chance right near the end, which I couldn't believe he missed it. But maybe we earned a bit of luck because we've been playing well the last few weeks. So I'm really pleased to get sixth, really pleased. That's really positive. From where we were last season, the season we had last year to come, and where we were at Christmas, to be honest, when we think we were 11th, like around Christmas time, to end up finishing sixth is a really good performance. So, and, you know, and we've seen players improve over the season. We've seen the team begin to gel over the season. We've seen character, mentality begin to develop over the season. I think Pochettino's done a good job overall. First half of the season maybe wasn't doing a good job, but certainly the second half of the season, you know, since December, really, I think, you know, you can see the improvement. You can see the work that he's been doing. So, yeah. So we're going to get people up to talk about the game. I just want to talk about, I think there's two players I want to talk about today. So the first one I want to talk about is Moises Caicedo, because I think we've got to talk about him. Because I think he's had the second half of the season especially, he's been brilliant. I think he's been really, really good. Obviously, the money we paid for him was too much, but ultimately, he's a top class player and he's been showing that consistently for a while.
What a way to open your account.
I know. I was so happy for him because I think he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And to score a goal like that, you know, it's the longest, I think it's the furthest out somebody's scored since 2017 in the Premier League. And that would be his first goal for Chelsea. And you can see what it meant to him, what it meant to his teammates as well. Absolutely brilliant. I was really pleased with him. But yeah, what are your thoughts on him? Just this season, today and this season?
I think he's been really solid. I think he's actually had a very solid season. I think when you go for that kind of money, whoever you are, there's always going to be extra pressure on you. But Alan Smith on commentary made quite a good point. He's still fairly new to the Premier League because he only really had one full season at Brighton. So this is only really a second full season in the Premier League.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. And he's only 22. I mean, he's going to get better. That's the thing. And we actually looked, I think we looked a bit more open once he came off as well. I think you could see the difference when he came off. Bournemouth found ways through us more easily once he wasn't on the pitch. Although I thought Uguchukwu did pretty well. But Caicedo, you could see we missed him a little bit when he went off.
I think it's always difficult for a player when you go for that kind of money because people always focus, oh, he's gone for 100 million, 100 plus million, you know, he should be making an immediate impact. But, you know, players need time to settle in. You know, he came into a dysfunctional team at the time. You know, a lot of players injured, you know, the team was chopping and changing every week. So he did need time and the team needed time to kind of settle down. And now the team settled down, you can see his performances are growing week by week.
Absolutely agree. I mean, I really wanted us to sign him. I'm a big fan of Declan Rice and I really wanted to sign him as well, but you know, we weren't getting him. It had to be Caicedo. I think he's, and he's going to get better. He's going to, and I think it was quite funny that he scored his first goal for us, a goal like that on the day that Declan Rice, I think, basically scored an own goal for Arsenal. Although Arsenal actually won in the end, 2-1. Kai Havertz scored in the 89th minute. But it didn't matter. They didn't win. They've bottled the league 2 years in a row now, which is fun. No trophies since 2020 for Arteta. Oh dear, isn't that a shame?
And it's made even sweeter, obviously, losing both games against Aston Villa, managed by Emery, who Arsenal fans abuse like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Aston Villa, just to say, lost 5-0 to Crystal Palace. Like, I mean, what Glasner's doing at Crystal Palace is incredible. Really is.
He's going to be one to watch next year, Glasner, because
every year, but this time next year, he'll be getting linked with big clubs, 100%.
I
Definitely. Maybe Chelsea, if we keep Pochettino for another year, he'll be one we look at, I think, personally. But they finished sixth, 63 points, 14 plus goal difference. 3 points clear of Newcastle and Manchester United, and then 11 points clear of ninth place, West Ham, and Crystal Palace finished 10th in the end. I think that's their highest ever Premier League finish. And they finished above Brighton, which I think is hilarious. Deserve not finished the season very well. I think that's hilarious because I'm not a fan of Brighton.
It's funny how things can change in a short space of time.
Yeah, it is. Like, I mean, that's why I think the owners wanted to judge over the whole season and didn't want to make a reactive decision about the manager, because they wanted to kind of wait, not make an emotional decision, but kind of assess the whole season. And that's going to happen this week. So we'll see what happens with that. I think Pochettino should stay, and that's another conversation we should have. I think you agree with me on that, Rambles.
Oh, 100%. I think Pochettino has, I think he has to stay. He's on the right to stay. The way we finished the season is really positive. All the players seem to like him a lot, and they're all playing for him. And the managerial market isn't that great. I think he is the best option to take us into the second season, see where we can go from there.
Absolutely agree, 100%. I don't think there's anyone out there really that is enough of an upgrade to go for anyway. Yeah, I think overall he's done a good job. We've improved over the season. The players have improved. There's good team spirit. The performances have improved. We've ended six unbeaten to the end of the season, five wins and a draw, which not even I predicted. I thought we'd get four wins and two draws in these last six games. But, so fair play to Pochettino. I mean, like, he's done a good job. And, you know, whatever happens now, his reputation is, well, enhanced, I don't know, but certainly it's reaffirmed how good a coach he is from when he was at Tottenham. I mean, actually, there's a good comparison. His first season at Tottenham is a good comparison to this season for Chelsea, because they were about 10th in the league in like November, December, and they ended up finishing 5th with 64 points. And we finished 6th with 63 points, and we were about 11th in December. So, it seems to be following a similar pattern, you know, and hopefully next season, add some players, get injured players back, you know, and maybe I think we can do better. I think we can improve. But it just depends on them keeping him, and we'll find that out this week.
This is an argument I always find funny. I often hear fans saying Pochettino is not a winner, but which managers on the managerial market would you class as a winner? I mean,
yeah, I know, it makes no sense to me. Like, De Zerbi's never won a trophy.
No.
Like, in his career as a manager. I mean, won more trophies than De Zerbi has. Yeah.
I mean, even someone like Tuchel, it might be controversial, but would you say he's a winner? I know, obviously, he's won the Champions League of Ireland.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, because he's not, his record in league football is not as good.
No.
He's finished third with Bayern Munich this season. You know, Stuttgart finished above him.
Arnie Slot is going to Liverpool. He's done well in Germany, but would you say he's a winner?
In the Netherlands, yeah, he's won the domestic cup and he's won the league, and he's got to a Europa League final. But I wouldn't say he's a proven winner. No, absolutely not. And I mean, the only proven winners in the Premier League are Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, and Jurgen Klopp's leaving. So yeah. Pep Guardiola's the only one. Yeah, it's. Glasner has won more trophies than De Zerbi. He's won the Europa League, you know. So, which people seem to forget when he got appointed. But Pochettino. Yeah, he's won. I mean, he won the French League. He won the French Cup. He won the Super Cup in France, I think. And you know, people forget that at Spurs, he spent 300 million in 5 years in total. Whereas Man City and Chelsea in that time spent about £500 million more. And yet he challenged for the title twice and got into the Champions League final.
And you know, I think the season after they made the Champions League final, they didn't spend a penny, I don't believe.
No, I think it was the season before. The season they actually got to the final, they didn't suspend it by one player. And Kane got injured as well, so we didn't even have Harry Kane for a lot of the season. You know, so, you know, but they still got to the Champions League final. And that's, I mean, there was no way they were going to win it because they weren't as good as Liverpool. But yeah, so, you know, he's a good manager. Is he the guy that's going to win Premier League titles for Chelsea? I don't know, but I'm open to it. You know, I mean, it'd be kind of nice to have a manager that builds a team and then wins the league with it. We never had that really at Chelsea, have we? So, yeah, but we'll see what happens with that. Lots of things to happen this week. The other player I wanted to talk about today was Trev, because I thought he was excellent again. He was one of my men in the match. Like, he was so good defensively, made so many good blocks, interceptions, headers. You know, good forward pass, and I thought he had an excellent game. I think we've got to keep him. But what are your thoughts on Trev today?
Yeah, I thought he had a good game. He was very solid. You see, I probably fall into the minority, but I understand from the club's point of view why they'd potentially look to move on Chalabar and Gallagher. I know some people will be outraged by it, but I can see where the club are coming from.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I think a lot of people understand that. You know, I mean, if Fofana comes back and is fully fit, then obviously he's starting in that right centre back position. But that's a big question as to whether he is or not. You know, we don't know that. Certainly, we've got good centre back options. We've got Levi Colwell is fit, and he hasn't played the last couple of games, and I think he's one of our best centre backs.
I think he's our best centre back.
So yeah, I mean, I think he could be starting for us really, but. You know, Badiashile has been pretty decent the last few games, so he's earned his place. So we've got good centre-back options. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out this summer. And Ben Chilwell, by the way, wasn't even on the bench today, and he was fit. You know, I think that was a big thing, I think. I don't know if there's something in that, but he's fit and he wasn't in the squad. And he's the vice captain as well. So that's an interesting one. I mean, Cucurella's been excellent the last few weeks. I thought he was pretty good in the first half today. Kind of tailed off in the second half, like a lot of players did. But yeah, he's been good. So, all right, we're going to start inviting people up to talk. So, okay, we've got Frank here. Okay, I'm going to invite Frank up. If you want to speak, please do request. We would love to hear your views on today's game and on Pochettino as well. So just please do come up. Please do request. And we'll get you up here. But in the meantime, I think, like, overall, like, your view of the season, Rambles, like, what did you expect at the start of the season?
At the start of the season, I predicted European football. But I didn't envisage we'd have as many injuries as we had. So when you take the whole season into account, you know, the new players, all the injuries we've had, and the way the season started and finished, I'd probably say a solid 7, 7.5 out of 10. I think we finished the season very positively. And I now look forward to games, whereas early on in the season, I wasn't looking forward to games. I'm enjoying watching us play a lot more now because we do play some really good football. And with the players returning, we just look a much stronger unit.
Yes, I think so. I think that's at the start of the season, you know, you could tell it was a lot of young players who didn't know each other very well. And now they look like a team. They look like a squad. They're playing for each other. The chemistry is starting to show. It's definitely improved over the season.
My biggest concern is still the defence. I still think we leak too many goals. I want to see Pochettino pick his first choice centre-back pairing, like Arsenal have done with Saliba and Gabriel. And I want to see us go with that, you know, in more or less every game we can do. Because I think, you know, chopping and changing every week, I just don't think it does us any favours. I want to see a centre-back pairing form a relationship moving forward. Because I think that helps the whole team, helps the midfield, helps the goalkeeper.
Yeah, absolutely. And Pochettino normally does that, to be fair, but I don't think he's been able to pick his first choice centre back pairing for a lot of the season. I mean, like, you had Levi's been injured for part of it, Betty Shield been injured for part of it, Trev was injured for part of it as well. So it's been difficult for him to pick. And of course, we haven't had one left back really cement his place over the season, you know. But yes, you're right. I mean, the goals that we give away, I mean, then we don't even give, we don't, players, teams don't have to really play well to score against us sometimes. It's like we just leave ourselves open and just give them opportunities. You know, we don't make teams work hard enough to score against us. And that has to change next season for sure. And that's partly to do with structure, tactics, organisation. Part of it is because we don't have an established back four as well, I think. You know, and that's something that we've got to work on. And part of it's mentality and concentration as well. You know, young players can be inconsistent and lose concentration every so often, and that's part of it as well. So there's a lot of things that have affected that. I mean, that needs to be resolved for next season. That 100%. There's no question.
I've just been sent this by a friend. I don't know how true it is or whether you can read anything into it. But Pochettino and his staff just walked straight down the tunnel before the lap of appreciation. I don't know whether you can read anything into that.
Interesting. That's interesting. I'm hoping that we can get, we all get Louis, who's at the game. Louis at the game. We'll hear what he's got to say about that, because that will be interesting. We want to get some. I see BTNT's here. If you want to request BTNT, we'd love to have you up again to get your thoughts, as always. Please do people request. We haven't got any requests at the moment. It's the last game of the season. I think there's a lot to say. So I've just seen a photo of Kai Havertz looking despondent, crying. that he on the Arsenal pitch because he didn't win the league. That's beautiful. Absolutely. You've got to love it.
Here's an interesting question.
Yes.
Do you think we've missed any of the players we sold last summer? Personally, I don't think so. No, I'd be interested to see what.
I can't think of one that we've missed, honestly. I haven't sat, not at any point in the season have I thought, oh, I wish we had. I wish we had.
Only one. I think maybe, by the way, hi guys, I hope you're doing well.
Hello, man.
I just sort of jumped in there.
which player do you think we missed?
I'm not saying that missed necessarily, but would have been, out of all those that we saw, would have possibly been useful, would have been Pulisic maybe, but, because he's having a good season over there, but I wouldn't have been confident he would have stayed fit. If he stayed with us, you know, he's not quite suited for the Premier League's physicality, it seems.
So what's the, what's your reasoning for that?
Well, I was just thinking in terms of that left wing, like, Mudrik wasn't quite doing it 100% consistently, you know, he's a bit up and down on that. Sterling has also been a bit up and down. And yeah, that left hand side was always a bit more of a trickier one for us. The right seemed the most solid one. The left always was a bit more difficult. So that's the, but it's not like I'm going, we shouldn't have sold him. It's just, if I think about it, could be abused for the bit, yes. The rest I'm going, nah, we were fine without them.
Yeah, I mean, I like Pulisic as a player. I think he's really good. I think he's got a lot of talent. And, you know, when he's on form and he's fit, he's good. He's a good player who can score goals. And I think I probably think he would have had a better season than Mudrik has had. So, I mean, although I don't think it's enough that I would regret selling him, because I think he wanted to go anyway. He was itchy. I think he wasn't happy at Chelsea and wanted to leave. So I never want anyone to stay who's
not. Yeah, that's why I did put it down as a regret or something. Like, I think none of the sales I look at as regrets. And you look at most of the sales happened of players that were pretty happy or wanted to leave. Kovacic wanted to go to City. Havertz wanted to go to Arsenal. Jorginho wanted to go to Arsenal. Mount wanted to go to United. Pulisic wanted to go to AC Milan. Like, they all wanted to leave. So to keep them would have been less than ideal, I'd say, considering we're also building an entire new dressing room with an entire new harmony and act behind it after a horrible season.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the only one, though. Like, Mason Mount, if one about us selling him, like, and how we would regret it. We haven't regretted it at all. Even if Mason Mount had a good season at Manchester United, I still think we regretted it because Cole Palmer, Conor Gallagher, those players who's kind of taken his position, Kylie Chuck-O-Mick has looked good when he's played. I don't think we miss him at all. And actually, he's not been great for Manchester United, and he's missed most of the season with injury anyway.
I would say the same with Kovacic as well. I think, he's been I think he's been the same throughout his whole career at Real Madrid, at Chelsea, at Manchester City. He's an up and down player. He'll have a few good games, a few average games. I think Caicedo's probably been more consistent than Kovacic was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kovacic is he's a frustrating player because he's a very talented player, but he's not consistent enough. And like at Chelsea, you couldn't rely on him. He didn't score enough goals. He didn't get enough assists. But at City, he fits in really well as a squad player. And he fits in their style of football, and I think he's had a solid season for City. And he's got a title winner's medal now. So, a Premier League winner's medal.
I think also with the, I generally agree on that. I mean, Caicedo, I think, had a difficult start to the season, definitely. It took him time to grow into this team more and more. Over the last several weeks or a couple of months or something, he has been really good for us. So it's nice to see that come into fruition eventually. If we had Kovacic, would that be easier transition or something for him? Less pressure? I don't know. But, at the end of the day, you also get a transfer fee for these players. Let's not forget that part. So I'm happy with Caicedo, the way he's performed, and that goal. Oh, the worst thing about that goal for me, my stream cut out just a few seconds before the goal happened. I missed it. I had to watch replays of it. That kills me. That kills me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, that's annoying when that cuts out right at that moment, isn't it? Gosh, that was such a good goal. I enjoyed that goal so much because it was a player that I thought deserved a goal. And it was a great goal. It was just how often do we score goals like that? Not very often, And
yeah, there's
a
few and far between.
Of 0.05, 0.02, I believe.
0.02 or something like that. Yeah, it was like really low. But it was a bad goalkeeper from their keeper. He came so far out. He just left it open.
It was like the Rooney one that he did, really when he was playing for Everton 2017. Because also that was Joe Hart kicking out the ball, getting very far out, the ball landing at Rooney's feet and Rooney putting it a long distance. It's, in that sense, identical copy of goalkeeper goes out too far, doesn't clear it enough, goes to the opposition player and he just puts it long.
Yeah. I just wanted to get some headlines from the end of the game. Conor Gallagher isn't saying goodbye to Chelsea supporters. He's doing a lap of honour with his family there on the pitch and not waving goodbye. So it doesn't look like he wants. I mean, the thing is, he could stay. I think that he may just refuse to go and try and get them to give him a contract. Especially if Pochettino stays, I think he'll really push to stay. I think he's more likely to go if Pochettino goes. But we should be keeping him. He's had a great season. He's been really, really good all season.
It would also look bad for them in terms of the PR aspect of the fact that they've already had quite a few negative, headlines and everything. Forcing out one of your academy players at this point would look bad. And they don't want to look, they don't want to be worse image than they've already got. I think so. It might be just from a PR perspective, makes sense to keep a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, 100%. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't need to be PR, but it might be. Nice little quote from Thiago Silva. I think he did a speech on the pitch after the game. My dream is to see my sons playing for Chelsea one day. And they're in the academy, so that could happen. That's nice, isn't it? I mean, I think he will be back. I don't know if anyone saw the interview with him with Sky, which came out, was on YouTube at the moment, and he was talking about wanting to be a manager, wanting to be a number one. He talked about Lampard and Tuchel as his biggest influences at Chelsea, saying that basically this season is not good enough for Chelsea. Chelsea need to be winning. Very, very interesting stuff. And you get to see his gym. He's got this gym at his house. He's got like this hyperbaric chamber at his house. Like, it's amazing. Like, he's just like built all these recovery things into his house. So I'd highly recommend that. We're going to miss him. Of course, we should talk about Thiago Silva because it was his last game for Chelsea today. And he's obviously a legend. He's been fantastic for Chelsea. And, you know, won the Champions League, Super Cup, Club World Cup with us, been superb for us. Like, just some words on Thiago Silva rambles.
It feels like he's been here a lot longer than 4 years, because he definitely falls in, I think he falls into the legend category. And I think he'll be in the conversation for the best free signings in the Premier League era.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely 100%.
I honestly couldn't split him and Balak.
Yeah, I think Balak edges it for me just because he won the Premier League.
Yeah, maybe because he...
And he won more trophies than Silva. And but honestly, it's not much, is it? I mean...
There's also the fact that Thiago came at that age. I mean, none of us were expecting that much from him. Of course, I was speaking for myself. I don't want to put words in other people's mouths, but I was thinking, okay, this is an experienced player, comes from PSG, who'll have some good leadership and that. You know, he'll do a decent job, maybe stay with us for a season or two until we get somebody else. And just the way the absolute professionalism on the pitch, off the pitch, you know, the way he takes care of himself, the leadership aspect, all of it, it's just completely blown me out of the water. And just, yeah, as I say, the age that he came at, I didn't have many expectations of it. It didn't mean I thought it was bad, but I didn't think he'd do what he ended up doing with us. And
I thought he'd be for maybe one, maybe 2 years at most. I mean, I was really happy when we signed him. I thought it was an excellent signing. It was a really smart signing because we needed some experience in the squad. And he was perfect, really. Frank Lampard was the big pull for him. He wanted him. He pushed for him, got him. And we should thank Frank Lampard for that, because I think that's really, really, I mean, we've seen, it's not just what he's done on the pitch. It's what he's done off the pitch. You know, his leadership is how he's helped players off the pitch, how he's been an example to them of professionalism, you know, all of that, what it means to be Chelsea.
It says something when you've been at a club for, let's be honest, only 4 years in a way that, you know, you're not like a Totti at Roma or something. You've been here for 4 years and yet the club gives you a guard of honour on your last game.
Did they give him a guard of honour?
They gave him a guard of honour, yeah, him and his family.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's fantastic.
I wasn't too sure what to expect when we signed Thiago Silva, because obviously I knew how good he was. But given his age, I didn't know if he would just be a bit part player, whether he was just coming down, you know, whether he was just going to be here for a season. But he's been pretty much regular for 4 seasons now.
Yeah, fair play to him, you know. And he's an icon of the game. I mean, there's no doubt about it, you know. And the fact that he said that Chelsea is a club he feels like almost the most attachment to, you know, and he played for like PSG and Milan, you know, but... you know, that he wants to come back and that he's planning to come back. It's incredible, really. And that's a testament to the Chelsea fan base, really. And I've seen this before as well. Players that have played for other clubs before Chelsea and big clubs and then have come to Chelsea and Chelsea has become their club. Ashley Cole is a big example of that. You know, he was an Arsenal legend, pretty much. He won the Premier League with Arsenal a couple of times, came to Chelsea and then he's proper Chelsea.
And like even Fabregas, he still loves Arsenal, but I don't think even he thought he would kind of fall in love with the club as he did.
Yeah, and he was at the training ground the other day. So, you know, he still cares about Chelsea. He still loves Chelsea. You know, got a lot of...
Possibly time. Also throw Giroud a bit into that. I think...
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Giroud did won, what, a couple of FA Cups at Arsenal? Here, he won the Europa League, the Champions League, and that was that's it, isn't it? And yeah,
the that's it. He wasn't there for the club.
Oh, we should. I don't think we still think we should have kept him for another couple of years. I think he would have been useful to have around personally. But yeah, I mean that's another one, isn't it? Like he's I love Fury. He was a fantastic sign. Another one that's relatively cheap. You know, £18 million. Absolute bargain in my eyes.
Torres falls into that category as well. I know he had his struggles at Chelsea, but
as well, didn't he? He won the FA Cup under Conte, didn't he, Giroud? Yeah. So he won 3 trophies at Chelsea.
I was saying Torres also falls into that category. He always speaks very highly of Chelsea. He obviously still has Liverpool in his heart as well. But, you know, he's always been very complimentary. You know, he's always spoken very nicely about Chelsea in his time here.
More Chelsea than Liverpool as well.
And he had a very difficult time at Chelsea. He didn't have it easy.
I still think Torres is an underrated signing because the season we won the Europa League, he got 24 goals.
He did, yeah.
And he scored in the final. So, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say he's a legend, but certainly I think he's done enough to be he wasn't a flop. And, you know, he always gave everything in the pitch. He always worked hard. You know, he didn't let his head get down. He kept going, even though he wasn't scoring goals. So
it's just the contrast with his form at Liverpool, isn't it? It's the contrast aspect. Yeah, you had higher expectations of him than, for example, Jackson.
Yeah, he paid a lot of money for him as well. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, but yeah, I mean, Hasselbank's another one. He was at Leeds before Chelsea. Big club, you know, was a kind of a hero there. But now he's just Chelsea. You know, he talks about Chelsea all the time. He represents Chelsea on, you know, punditry and stuff. You know, he's always a Chelsea person now. So, yeah. I mean, Thiago Silva's like that, you know. And he also said, the last thing he said, I love you so much, guys. I'll miss you. Goodbye. And he said that when he was crying when he said that, apparently. So, he really feels the club. Even I could see in that interview he did the other day that he was really emotional. He really does feel the club and he really cares about the club. So I'm sure he'll be back. And I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being Chelsea manager in the future. Same with Cesc, actually. I think he might be Chelsea manager in the future too. And you can always see the photos of Silva. Doing his coaching stuff, can't you? Like, he's reading books by De Zerbi and he's doing all tactical stuff and he's like, so you know what he's like. I suspect he'll make a really good manager. And hopefully at Chelsea. Wouldn't it be nice to win the Premier League or the Champions League at Chelsea with Thiago Silva as manager? He'll have to learn English though. He's got to learn English to manage Chelsea. So anyway, Thiago Silva, legend. We all miss him. We're all going to miss him. Hopefully he comes back one day. And we've got Louis from the ground. Fantastic. The legendary Louis, man, the myth, the legend, is in the house.
Hello. How are you doing? All right?
Yeah. Hey, Louis. Yeah, we're just celebrating Thiago Silva.
I've been listening. I've heard. What a man. What a man he is. And by the way, at the end of the game, I liked how he did all much what Rudiger was doing at the end of his last game, where just kicking lumps at people and just absolutely playing just Route 1 Sunday League football and just lumping outfield. Big fan of that. Yeah, what a fella. You know, my favourite part of his speech was when he was talking about how he wanted his lads to play for Chelsea. That was, that pulled at the heartstrings, yeah. Yeah. There was this stuff coming out of my eyes that tasted like salty water. I didn't know how to explain it.
Yeah, it's that weird thing, isn't it? I kind of felt that too. Yeah, it's this kind of, what is this salty discharge?
Emotional, Dane.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, like, he's a, I think, I think, and I was talking about this before, like he was so emotional when he was doing that interview with Sky. Like he really choked up. He had to hold back tears, you know, about, you know, talking about what he wanted for Chelsea and how much he cared about Chelsea and where Chelsea needs to be and, like, you know, and that absolute determination from him to become a manager. And he wants to be an assistant first and then he wants to be a manager. So he's going to do it the proper way, you know. And you wouldn't bet against him. You really wouldn't. So, because he's a winner.
I just don't want him to rush it. Because I want him to, because of, you know, all the love that I have for the guy that the play has been for Chelsea, I want him to reach that top level. I don't want him to, dare I say, rush it a bit like that hard, go to a higher job too quickly.
Yeah, he's going to follow the process, isn't he? Like, he's going to be an assistant first.
Like, if he builds up his craft and then hopefully we can see him as a top level manager.
Yeah, I mean,
a top level manager at Chelsea.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll want to manage Chelsea. I'm sure he'll want to manage Brazil as well. And I could see both happening, honestly, because this is a guy that just works insanely hard. Like, if you saw that interview with him on Sky, I saw that just saying the gym that he has, he built at his house and he bought himself a hyperbaric chamber. He bought himself one of those kind of cold rooms where it gets like really, really cold and you go in there for like 3 minutes. All of this is to help his conditioning and he exercises 3 times a day, every day. No matter what, and he's just completely devoted to his, you know, to his profession.
That's insane, by the way. 3 times a day, every day, and
No matter what.
I feel incredibly insecure right now, and I'm 26. So
yeah, I felt the same, mate. I was looking at it thinking maybe I need to do more exercise. Yeah, like, this is incredible.
Yeah. I was watching that, struggling to get up from the sofa, thinking, okay, there's levels here.
Yeah.
I'm a bit embarrassed.
Yeah, I mean, we all love him. I think, you know, he loves us and we love him. And that won't change. And I know he'll be back. I think he's determined to be back as well. And the club have a lot of respect for him. Yeah, so yeah, we talked about Thiago Silva. We'll get back to the game now. We did touch on the game at the beginning a little bit. Louis, you were at the game.
Hello.
What were your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, I thought we were solid. I think for the first half, that was a sign that the Chelsea side that have continued to develop, continued to do well. Second half, not so much. I did think that there were signs of the side which were playing pre-December, which was slightly worrying. I thought we slowed down a lot in the second half, but at the same time, I can kind of understand it. I saw Nico Jackson really flagging at the end in 26, 27 degree heat after playing the style of football that Mauricio Pochettino wants to play, which is high intensity. You know, I don't blame him for being absolutely shattered by the end of the game. But, you know, look, end of the day, we got 3 points. At this stage of the season, that's all that mattered. We only needed one. So the fact that we got three is brilliant. And I thought, you know, we showed some real signs of improvement. I think the football was there. I think it was much better. I think you can see what the introduction of Christopher Nkunku is going to do. I thought Raheem Sterling played very well today as well. Took his goal. I want to say well. It was a big rebound, but, you know, he got in the right place at the right time and was continuously dangerous throughout the game. But, yeah, look, like, the bottom line is, with how the season's come to an end, that's all we can ask for. I think that the way that everything's developed over the course of the past sort of 2 to 3 months, especially where we've secured sixth, I think if you'd said that to us at the beginning of the season, I don't think any of us would have turned our nose up at that, thinking, to be honest, that I thought there was maybe 6 or 7 teams that were better than us. And lo and behold, we've actually improved and we've done our bit. So, you know, Chelsea have gone, finished sixth in the Premier League in the first season under Mauricio Pochettino. Reading all the news about Kieran McKenna and, you know, other coaches that are being reviewed over the past 2 or 3 days makes me slightly nervous, considering the fact that I don't think any of them are the right manager. I think this squad's actually finally starting to put something together. And I think, you know, me and Score touched on this after the Brighton game. Both of us were extremely wrong about Mauricio Pochettino. And he steps up to the plate. And the team's finally starting to gel. So, you know, let's get ourselves a decent medical department. Let's keep these players fit. And let's see what we can do next season. Because today, it just showed more and more examples of what this Chelsea team can be capable of.
Yeah, I thought we were pretty professional in terms of, you know, Bournemouth got a goal back, and they had a few chances, to be fair, but we saw them off, you know, and we had a few chances to get a third ourselves. We didn't panic. You know, we got the result. I think that's the most important thing today. The result was the important thing today, not the performance. And we got the result. We got sixth place, and that's absolutely right. The McKenna thing, I still think that's from McKenna's agent. I don't think that's from Chelsea's side at all. I don't think it's a coincidence that he was linked with Brighton and then suddenly somehow he was linked with us.
Well, I mean, put it this way, Scott, there's a reason that when I saw it, we didn't tweet it out on the Chelsea Echo account, because it just seems very, very odd.
Yeah.
It's stirring the pot. There's no need to do so. I think...
Absolutely as agree.
I know, Pete, there are still going to be people in the camps that he was Tottenham, he was this, he was that. So, okay, well, you know, it's there's still things he needs to work on. I think one thing I really wasn't a fan of today was, as soon as Thiago Silva did his speech, he was straight down the tunnel. So I think it would have been nice to see him come round to the fans.
I've just read a report, or not read a report, I saw somebody tweet about that, saying that supposedly Poch said that as soon as that happened, Adrian, the press officer, said he had to come down for the interview or something. Uh-huh. So I'm not quite, I can't verify that, but that might be one of the reasons why.
Yeah, it could be, but I do think that the relationship with the fans is something which needs consistent work now. I think that, you know, that when I did appreciate what he said yesterday in his presser, or Friday, sorry, when he was saying how, you know, they're not going to celebrate, you know, fifth or sixth. It's not really just not good enough for the club, which showed he's slowly adapting and understanding. What I didn't like was he said it's not good enough for the players, the sporting directors, the owners, us, but he didn't mention the fans. I was like, okay, well, I do think that there's little things he could do just to mend that, and, well, not mend, mend's the wrong word, but sort of start to build it. But overall, look, if we're just going to look at pure facts, we'll look at data, we'll look at the football. To have a team which is basically a makeshift for a whole season, if we're going to be brutally honest, not really been able to develop what we wanted as much as we wanted. I think that what he's done this year, especially since December, you know, being in the top four since Christmas. I know it doesn't mean anything, the overall result and standings, but it shows that there is a baseline to go off of into next season with the right signings and the right recruitment. I think, look, we'll have to see. I do just think that if I was in that board meeting with him and be like, right, how'd you review in a season? I would say your relationship with the fans, I'm not asking him to be, you know, wild and, you know, throwing himself into the crowd. You know, he's passionate, but he's definitely not one of those characters, I don't think. So, you know, I just want him to maybe make an effort just to connect. I do think just walking around, giving someone a clap, it will show that there is something there. Because I think it's all well and good saying that it's there, but I think a lot of people maybe still don't feel that connection as much. The results are there, we're happier with it, but I think the connection still needs a lot of work.
Also, with what you said, Louis, because you were talking about, you know, the past several months, for me, that's the important part. Like, in terms of a manager's progress for his first season, you prefer the first part to be bad and the second part to be good, then vice versa, because at least, you know, we're seeing now an improvement. As opposed to, dare I say, for example, Spurs losing how many games in a row or something, you're suddenly going, is there an improvement or have you been found out or something? I don't want to make this about Spurs, but just, yeah, that we're seeing an improvement, performances getting better and better by, as a team and individual players. And so I do have certain expectations for next season. We should be getting Champions League spot, end of next season or something. Bit further ahead than that, but we've made progress.
Yeah, I think that's it. But we've laid foundations this season. You know, we've put solid foundations in place, I think, for the next team. Like, another good comparison, Chelsea comparison. from 2000, I'm making this comparison all season, and it's accurate, is from 2001-2002, the season that Frank Lampard signed for us, Gallas signed for us, JT was emerging, Gudjonsson was emerging, we signed him a year before. You know, we had quite a young squad with some experience around them. And they finished sixth, and they got to a cup final, which they lost. And they got to a semi-final in the other cup competition. So it's kind of a very similar similar season, you know. And it's the first season of a young team. We had 54 injuries, and we had some key players out most of the season. I think we've seen in the last two games what Nkunku can bring, and what he would have brung if he'd been fit all season. We would have scored more goals, I think, for sure. Would have won more games.
I reckon we'd have come through in Champions League. I really do. I think that
the way that
we've played has just been... I think that's the barometer now. I think, let's see how we do the European football next season, whether it's Conference or Europa.
We finished only 6 points off the Champions League places. Now, and you know, you can say, oh, if we'd beaten Burnley and Sheffield United and Brentford, you know, we'd have been level on points with the fourth place. You know, I mean, that's given the start of the season, that's pretty incredible. You know, so there is definitely a foundation there which we can build on, and we need to get the right signings in. We need to give Pochettino public support, tell him that he's, you know, that he's our man, and, you know, and move forward, because there's some positive energy right now, positive momentum in the team. Who was your, just going back to the game, Louis, who is your man of the match today? Which player stood out for you today?
It wasn't Cole Palmer who got voted there. I thought he had a pretty dire game by his standards today.
I don't know why he got it either. I didn't think he was.
For me, it was either Cucurella or Moises Caicedo. Cucurella obviously just continues to develop into that role. I personally think that left back spot is his to lose now. He's the starting left back for Chelsea. No matter what Chilwell brings to the table right now, I think what Cucurella's done over the past 2-3 months, he's cemented his position. And then obviously Moises Caicedo scores. It won't be goal of the season because of what Garnacho did against Everton, but, you know, he scored a contender for goal of the season. Absolutely immense goal. Held onto the ball well. Was progressive with his passing. Didn't lose possession that much. Was aggressive in the tackles. Won most of them. Won most of his duels. I was very impressed with him today. So I hope he can re-dye his hair the same colour again for the beginning of August, because, my word, I think that's definitely given him a new lease of life.
Yeah, I think I think you're right. Cucurella's been a revelation the last few games. And, I mean, I was saying this earlier, Ben Chilwell wasn't even in the squad today, and he's fit. So that tells you everything. And he's the vice-captain as well, you know, technically. So to leave him out of the squad completely...
Cucurella hasn't put a foot wrong the last few months. He's been outstanding.
Fair play to him, because I really didn't rate him, and I wasn't convinced by him at all, but he's proved me wrong in the last few weeks.
I'd also like to give a shout out to Chalobah.
Yes, absolutely.
Get that man a contract.
Trent's got a long-term contract already.
I'll give another one.
How long is his contract? I'll check how long his contract is. But yes, mate, go on BNTTNT, go and say, what were you going to say?
No, it wasn't sort of much, just I thought, you know, he's also been performing a solid performance, you know, not really putting a foot wrong, doing that. I mean, he's playing as a right back in sort of inverted commas and that. But just overall, he's been very solid. Game as well, again, he puts in some good tackles. Passing is decent. He looks calm on the ball. I mean, previously, the West Ham game or something, where he put that beautiful ball through for Madueke, who then got it to Jackson or something. And just this game and generally these last, because he didn't play at all for the first half of the season, came into the team and has just been performing very well. As Louis said, I deserve a contract, or at least to stay a bit longer.
And his contract, by the way, is till 2029. So it's 5 years from this year.
Give it another year. Let's make it a nice round 2030. I think that's a necessity It just is what it is. You've got to do what you've got to do. But anyway, gents, I'm going to love you and leave you. I'm going to let you enjoy the rest of the show. Looking forward to chatting more next season. Give you some more stuff on the ground. Score, you have been absolutely fantastic on this show since we started it in January. So long live Final Score with the Score. I'm going to go have a drink with Gary. Rambles as well. You've been a fantastic co-host. Thank you for always helping the Score out and stepping up. But gentlemen, if you're new around here,
thank you very
well,
much,
everybody.
For the opportunity. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks for the opportunity, Louis.
It's been a real privilege to do this. So I'm really enjoying it and looking forward to next season.
Definitely. Likewise. Long may it continue. But anyway, if you're new around here, if you have only just started listening, make sure obviously you follow the lads and get involved. But I'm going to go and have my one and only drink, because I'm not allowed to drink really technically with my fighting August. So I'm going to go and enjoy that for the next 3 hours, and I'll see you guys very soon.
Fantastic.
Take care, Lou.
Yeah. Oh, take care, Louis. Oh, fantastic. And it really has. We've been dug down nearly an hour, but it has been really great this year doing this show. I really am enjoying it. Every week, it's great to talk about Chelsea with people that really care about the club and want to have healthy conversation, respectful conversation, without kind of meltdowns and things. As Louis said, Rambles has been a great co-host, and hopefully that will continue into next year.
This space with both of you over the few weeks that I've been able to participate in is my favourite Twitter space by far.
That's nice.
It's nice to discuss it with you guys without the shouting, the yelling, the crashing, whatever. It's a delight to talk with you both. I just wanted to let that know.
I think we're coming to a positive end to the season. And that's nice. Chelsea fans have been through so much. This in the last couple of years to have a positive into the season, positive momentum, some good results and performances, some young players, a young team that's starting to show signs of development, moving in the right direction.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, I think that's it. We can start to see where we're going. You can start to see some forward momentum, and the signing of Estevao, Willian, it's not officially confirmed yet, but we've had a here we go. That is an incredible signing. I don't think people realise how big a signing that is. He's going to be a phenomenal player. That's another one that Joe Shields has been pushing for. And I think we can trust him. And I'm really excited about that guy.
Does he come the same time that Payet does?
Yeah, they both arrive next summer. So we've already got two signings for next summer sorted already. And there's going to be a couple of wingers have to leave at that point. So that's going to be an interesting one. I don't know who the manager will be. I don't know what state will be by then, but I'm hopefully...
Sterling will have left.
Yeah, Sterling will be one of them. And then it'll be one of Madueke and Mudrick, I suppose, will leave next summer. Whichever one does the season. Yeah.
Because with the nature of fixtures and everything, so many more games, so many more teams have to have large squads.
Yeah.
You might find some of these players just sort of having to stay and everything because the extended Champions League format, they're looking at this.
Yeah.
The extended Club World Cup and everything, all these things. We're in two cup competitions in England. This is the Premier League itself.
And the advantage that we have is that they will join us in time for the Club World Cup next June, right? So they will be Chelsea players and they will probably play in that competition, which means we won't have to play like the likes of Cole Palmer or whatever necessarily in every game, right? The depth we're going to have is incredible because we're going to have Christopher Nkunku. We're going to have Cole Palmer. We're going to have these two and probably at least one other attacker. We're going to have a lot of attackers and obviously Kalichuk Rumeka as well, who can play in that 10. We're going to have a lot of options. Nicholas Jackson as a striker, and then we'll have another striker, I suspect, whoever that will be, I don't know.
By the way, Score, I love the fact that we've qualified for the Club World Cup, but the fact that we have, after winning the 2021 Champions League for a competition in 2025, is a joke. I love it that we're in it, but it just seems like such a joke. You've qualified for something 4 years before it happens. It just seems ridiculous to me.
I know, it seems crazy, that rule, doesn't
it? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really good that Chelsea are going after these talents. I really think it's positive. And, you know, we do need to sign some proven players as well. I think that's really important to note. Some experience, some leaders, especially with Thiago Silva leaving, but hopefully we will. But yeah, it's been, like, I think it's been a positive season for Chelsea Football Club overall. And we didn't play brilliantly today, but we got the job done. That's the most important thing. And being able to get the job done is a skill. You know, when you winning when you're not playing well is an important thing to be able to do. And we didn't play well today, but we still won. So, you know, ultimately that's what matters. And that's about mentality as well. And again, that's another positive thing I think this season is the mentality and the togetherness in the squad. I've not seen it this good for a long time. And we need to keep hold of that. Rambles, thoughts?
Yeah, it's probably been the best team spirit we've had, I think, in quite a few years. Because last season, obviously, we had a lot of players who didn't want to be here. And seasons before, we've often heard stories about fallings out with managers and so on. But this year, everything's kind of gone pretty smoothly.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, last season was a bit of disruption. You know, we had change of ownership. We had a lot of people leaving the club. We had a lot of people coming into the club behind the scenes, as well as in terms of management and coaching. We had a lot of players coming in, a lot of players going out. It was so disrupted. And you know, that affects on the pitch, for sure. This season has been a bit more stable. You know, I think it took a while to get going, but it is now going.
It's also like the chaos in the past. At times it was funny to watch, but at the same time it was incredibly nerve-wracking to see it all, all the chaos going around. It's nice just to have a bit of stability for a time. Like, that's one of the reasons I want Pot to stay. Just have a bit of stability and actually try to build something.
Yeah.
If we decide end of next season he's not the guy, fair enough, but we can't just constantly be chopping and changing everything, and at some point you just need to rest and just.
Yeah, I don't like the changing of managers. I really don't. I've been wanting stability for a long time, and like, you know, Pochettino could give us that. You know, you could stay for another year or two, really start building some stuff, maybe win a trophy. Is he going to win the Premier League with us? I don't know. Like, fair play to the owners today, actually. In the programme, they did come out and, you know, they did say some stuff about what they want to achieve, and they said they want to be winning or challenging for the Premier League every season. They want to be competing in the cup competitions. They want to be winning cup competitions. They want to be playing Champions League every season. They've made that very clear now. That's what they want to do. So Pochettino knows what the expectations are. I think he even said in his post-match interview that he's not going to celebrate fifth or sixth because that's not Chelsea level, right? And that was good to hear. He understands the assignment, you know. And he'll want more as well. I mean, he's an ambitious guy. He wants to win trophies. He wants to win a trophy in England because he's sick of people saying he can't win trophies in England. So, you know, he's got.
We have an excellent chance of winning the Europa League
next season. Right? I agree. Yeah, we do. I think that provided Man City win the FA Cup next week, then we'll be in the Europa League. At the moment, we're in the Conference League. Which we would definitely have a chance of winning. If Man City win the double, then we will be in the Europa League. And Man United won't even get into Europe. Man United finished eighth, by the way. Their lowest league position for, I can't remember how long. The lowest position in the Premier League, anyway. Which is, I think, is brilliant. I think it's absolutely fantastic. but yes, I think.
And maybe it tells Mount Brass isn't always greener on the other side.
Indeed, yes.
This is very true.
Oh, that is funny. You know, that goodbye video that he made last year was it for me. that kind of told me that he didn't want to stay.
Yeah, no, it was a pathetic video, that was.
And then that video of his dad at, you know, Old Trafford saying, "Oh, home, mate, home," you know. I'm like, yeah, all right. And saw you, you know, like, got no time for you.
I've always gone to the principle, you know, a player leaves, you know, unless he sort of does some striking thing or, you know, refuses to train or something and given circumstances. If he wants to leave, the club is happy that we get a transfer fee that's decent. Okay, fine. Bon voyage. Take care. You know, I don't wish anything negative on him. I hope he has a happy personal life, everything, family's healthy and that. But with these kind of things, there's still a bit of a smirk on the side of the face going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Okay. We need to kind of wrap things up. But, I think overall, today was a good result. It wasn't the greatest performance, but we got the result. Caicedo's goal was incredible. Really just amazing. One of the goals of the season, I think. He played well again. Hopefully his injury wasn't too bad. And obviously Sterling as well, fair play to him. 8 Premier League goals for him this season. Got us that lead, which we needed because they got a goal back straight away, but we saw it out. And finishing 6th in the Premier League, lots of progress, positive. I think we're finishing the season on a positive note, which is really, really good. We've got a lot to take into next season. So just final thoughts, Rambles. Rambles, are you there? No, seems to have gone. He's muted, I don't know. Okay, Rambles, there you are. Final thoughts.
I don't know what happened there. The signal went a bit funny.
Just final thoughts on this, on today and on the season.
I think overall, I'd give the season a solid 7.5/8/10. I think we've finished really positively. And I think we can all see progressive signs heading into next season. And I think we can see, once we get players back from injury and once we get a few new signings in, what a difference it will make. Because I think we saw today Palmer and Jackson were probably looking a bit jaded and they've had to play more or less every game. We just haven't had the options. But now, obviously, we've got Nkunku back. We've got Sterling finding form again. We'll have Mudryk back next season. Plus, we'll have, hopefully, Carney will be back. And once we bring in a striker, we'll be able to rotate the front three/four a lot more.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. So it's all ending really positive. Thanks, Rambles, for your contributions this season as well and contributions to this space. It's really, really good.
Yeah, thank you, Score. I've really enjoyed the spaces with you guys. They've been really enjoyable. And we always do it in a kind of respectful manner. No one raises their voice, loses their temper. It's all done in a mature way. So yeah, they've been very enjoyable.
Fantastic. And I look forward to them for next season as well.
Maybe we can even do a few in the summer once we get a few signings or a few sales.
Yeah. We'll keep you informed on that. We might do a kind of full-on review of the season at some point. I don't know, but we're talking about that at the moment. We'll definitely be back for next season. We may be back for the pre-season games as well. That's possible. For doing these spaces after those. And, but definitely I just want to recommend everybody go to the Chelsea Sideline Club, who kind of help support this podcast. Great website, loads of written content, video content, audio content, interviews with John Terry and Glenn Hoddle and Joe Cole and other people. Really good stuff, really good content. You can find all our podcasts on there as well. And all the Chelsea Echo stuff is on there. And do follow the Chelsea Echo and keep in touch with the Chelsea Echo because they'll let you know about all the content we've got coming up. Thank you everybody for being part of this. Thank you everyone for contributing in the last few months. It's been brilliant. I'm really looking forward to next season and to doing these again. We've had some great speakers. Everyone who's spoken today and everyone who's spoken in every week since January. Really grateful because you make this show what it is. And it's fantastic to have healthy conversation with smart Chelsea fans who care about the club. So thank you, everybody. And so that's it for this season. And up the Chelsea!